Welcome to the Build Guild podcast, a professional thing for people who make stuff. I don't even remember what we say.
Professionally unprofessional podcast.
Thank you. See, I told you should have done it.
It has been a really long time since we've done a podcast.
Yeah.
Is this the first of the new
year?
What
are we called again?
I can't remember. I'm Ben with Myers Woodshop.
I'm Brian with Fiery Squirrel Art, I think.
I'm Cody with what is still now Organic Woodwork.
Yes. Good. So Cody and I went to Workbench Con. So we're going to talk about that this episode. Cody and I filmed together a summary of Workbench Con. It is a congregation of people who do social media DIY woodworking stuff.
Yeah.
So Cody and I went together. Brian, you didn't go. So didn't you were not a part of it at all.
No.
And you didn't come because...
Well, it... priorities, really.
Priorities?
Yeah, it was just...
We're not a priority.
That's what I meant, exactly. Ben and Cody are not on my priority list.
Yes.
It's not what I meant, Ben. No, it was... I mean, we got a professional at the table, and we got a closer to professional than I am, and it's just... I don't know. I balked at the price tag, for one thing.
Yeah, it was about $500 for a ticket, and then...
I had also already scheduled all my days off since like last Thanksgiving for a family vacation. So
family takes priority.
Yeah, so
we're not family at this table.
Not quite as close as my wife and kids. I'm sorry.
But I thought it'd be like a brother.
I know. I'm sorry, but no to both of you. I'll take the wife and kids. So I just didn't bump it to the top of my list like you guys. I wish I could have gone because I've listened and heard all sorts of good things about it.
So, there was good and bad, but we're going to cut to the audio of Cody and I right now from the YouTube channel, the YouTube video we did. And if you want to find this on YouTube, it's on my YouTube channel at Myers Woodshop, youtube.com/Myers Woodshop.
There you go.
You can find that Workbench Con 2020. So this is our summary of 2020 Workbench Con, me and Cody, and we'll come back and we'll discuss what we thought. So here is the audio from that. Hey guys, I'm Ben with Myers Woodshop.
And I'm Cody with Organic Woodwork.
And today we're going to talk about how we went to Workbench Con and kind of give our opinion about it and see, hopefully you can decipher if it's a place for you to go or not next year.
Yeah.
So I'm not a full-time content creator or woodworker, so I'm going to give my aspect of that.
And then I will... just kind of give my opinion on if a full-time studio production shop should go or not.
So this conference is more geared toward the social aspect of this kind of stuff. It is not, you're not going to learn how to be a better woodworker.
No.
If you're going for that, you got zero out of that, right?
Yeah. Well,
very little.
Very little.
Yeah.
I think for me, just having a production shop, you know, we live in an age of social media, so we do have to think about that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's great if you can be the best woodworker in the world, but if no one knows you exist or your content's not out there for them to see, then you're not doing yourself any favors. And there's just a lot to really, I don't know, it just really opened my eyes on things that I need to start implementing and doing.
So I have 27,000 followers and a pretty good YouTube channel. So I'm coming at it as kind of more seasoned. Cody just started basically all of that.
Maybe 3,000 followers. What is social media?
3,000 is still a good amount to somebody who is literally just starting.
Yeah, yeah.
But we kind of are going to give our aspects of like, I have something a little bit more built up and Cody is kind of fresher going towards this.
Green.
So let's start out at price. I don't remember what the tickets are. They start out, the earlier you get them, the cheaper they are, and then they progressively get more expensive. This is our first time going. This is my first time going to anything like this.
Yeah.
This is the third one they've had. So for me, I think I bought it when it first came out, it was maybe $400.
Yeah, and then I had waited a little bit, and it only went up like $100 or something like that.
$100 is still a lot of money to me. not organic, production shop, so
organic pay for it.
But yeah, that's the, like you waited for taxes or something.
Yeah, so there was reason, like a, right? Yeah, so there's tax implications that you have to work out with your CPA to make sure that, you know, it qualifies or whatever. And so
right, like so that. I don't have a CPA and I'm not a business, so I don't have to worry about that. So
yeah,
I'm that's trying. Kind of
I do.
Yeah,
I don't need to go to jail.
So first off, is the $400 or $500 you've spent to go to this thing, is it worth it? Then you have to factor in your flight or your drive. This was done in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We're in Arkansas. We're 8 hours away. The two of us driving, we kind of split the drive, the cost.
Yeah, it was fairly easy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was a simple...
Yeah, well...
Well, commute there is...
We had like one major city to drive through. So, but if you're paying for a flight, a plane ticket, you could be... For up to $400, $500 from wherever you're coming. We've met a guy.
More. Brandon from the Huma Huma Woodworking. He's out of Hawaii.
Yeah.
So, but he used his points for something like
right.
this.
Right. So if you have points, maybe it's worth it. Another guy from the Netherlands flew in from the Netherlands, and I can't imagine.
The Practical Engineer.
Practical Engineer. Yeah. If you've seen the Oreos dispenser on the wall in a shop, he's the guy. Awesome. So, yeah. So, you know, that's all relative to where you are for us. I don't know, maybe $100 in gas.
Yeah.
150. Well, I guess coming back, $100 one way. So that wasn't too bad. And then the hotel. So I didn't pay for that. I paid you back
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, we split it.
You put it on your business thing.
Yeah.
So you get it, and I don't count for that. So
I don't know. The hotel. I don't know. I have my thoughts on that.
Tell your thoughts.
So there was definitely talking to Brandon from Huma Huma. He stayed in another hotel, not the one that the conference was in.
The conference reserved a block of
and that was we even got like a discounted rate or something.
Yeah, but the hotel was actually attached to the conference center, so you never went outside to get to the conference center. So that was really convenient.
Yes.
And it maybe took like 3 minutes to walk there, but. Yeah. I thought the hotel was okay. Counting cost, it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, the hotel was nice. It was just, you know, and another good thing about the hotel is everyone was pretty much in the lobby the entire time.
Yeah, if you were at the conference and the conference was over, they had like a bar and the lobby was really big. So pretty much everyone migrated to there and it just kept going. And you don't have to go to WorkbenchCon to actually go to any of that meetups. Like if you live in Atlanta, you're really fortunate. I would literally just skip the WorkbenchCon and just go to the meetups at the end of the day. So
sadly, yeah.
Sadly, yes.
I would say the same.
So that's kind of where we are. Let's talk about food. I was under the impression we were getting dinner every night provided. That was not the case. I didn't read that very well. But they did provide breakfast and lunch.
Yes.
If you don't eat fruit like me, you're very hungry by the end of the day. Because there is no meat. Like, there was very little meat.
Yeah.
But the food was a joke to me. It's terrible.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really been to a conference where the food was great.
Well, yeah. But I wouldn't call it. It was more like a snack for every meal.
That's true.
And then in the middle of everything, there was no snack.
It wasn't a meal. The one thing I didn't like is, like, you're during the meal times, they also had people on stage speaking, but the audio was so horrible. I couldn't hear what was being said or what was going on. I think Ethan from The Build with Ethan. Yeah, okay, that's his channel.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really like that guy we were talking, and I was trying to really hear what he was saying, and I just couldn't hear it. Same with Jimmy DiResta. He had a whole segment, and I was staring at him.
More people heard him because I think he carries some clout where like everybody kind of quiets in the room. But
yeah.
I would think the same would be for like Bob from I Like to Make Stuff. He was day two during that time and no one listened because you couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of was a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you go into this one, when you check in, you go into this one big room. It's huge. And I don't know how they could get the audio better. It's too big of a room and it reverberated out everywhere.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bummer, but there's just the vendors were all around the outsides of that, and then they had big tables in the center and kind of like a stage.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the room was like. They do offer classes. So this is kind of like the meat and potatoes of going there and is this worth it? I went in there or I came away from like, did I make my money back that I had invested? Because it's a big investment.
Yeah, you know, and that was kind of how I did it too. Again, the classes was a selling point for me, because when I think of ROI, I think, well, what can I learn and bring back that will gain an investment from that? And so for me, going to these classes, I didn't really know what to expect, but besides one or two that I actually went to and really learned anything from, they were not, I could have done without them.
So
let's just say that. I don't want to badmouth anything.
Right. I would say just because you're a big YouTuber doesn't mean you're good at anything else.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, you're not a teacher. But you're, I don't know, like, if you
go... here's the thing. I don't want to discourage anyone from teaching anyone else something else.
Right.
But at the same time, if they ask you, hey, will you do a class, kind of, I don't know, self-evaluate and know your strengths and weaknesses. And if you can't, don't. That's just me. Like, if they were to ask me, can you do a class? And depending on what the class is... You know, if they were like going to be like, hey, can you do a class? I don't care what my following is on social media. On social media, I would be like, I am not the person you want to have do a class on.
I feel like there's a big disconnect between those who are new and small following, mm-hmm. or just new to the social scene of making, and those who are literally the top of the top. YouTubers have been around forever, have many homes, who actually have employees doing their videos and stuff like that. Those are the kind of people who are doing the classes. They don't correlate to, like, how do you make your first buck on social media?
Or, like, I don't know, I think even like an even simpler class than that, which is, you know, something that we're already set up for, but like, I feel like there's a lot of people with low numbers that didn't, but how to be affiliate.
Just
Amazon.
There's a lot of things that there seems to be a gap of missing information.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm kind of in the middle ground there, where I'm making a decent amount of money. Mm-hmm. So I learned a few things from the people. I'm not hiring anybody to do this video edit. I'm going to do it, and I hate it, and I'll do it till the day I die. But you know, like, there's a gap there where I took away a few things. But if you're just coming into it, there's going to be, you're basically watching a celebrity tell you about how they are making it, which doesn't really help you so much.
Celebrity
to me. Doesn't really help you so much if you're, you know, you got 100 followers and you're trying to make $2 on an affiliate link. So that's kind of the classes. I walked out of one. I walked out of Donnie's because I'm not a production shop. I'm not making furniture.
And that
was the class.
Well, I thought it was the best one.
It's hard to judge
because I'm a production shop.
For sure,
he's making furniture.
It's also hard to judge on like just the title of a class. So a lot of times they just give the title, and you're like, "Oh, I like this guy. This sounds like maybe it correlates," and it absolutely didn't. So, and you walked out of two classes that I stayed in.
Yeah.
So
I can't even remember what the classes were.
But one I really liked was Bob Claggett's Fusion 360. You did not come with me, but that applies to me a lot. I'm doing 3D printing and CNC stuff, modeling stuff. I really want to learn it, so it applied to me. I wish that class was like a full weekend class.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And see, I don't know. I think Donnie's class, but then again, I'm a business. He's a business.
Right.
So like, there was a lot of things that I learned from him, and even in his social media and how he implements hashtags and things like that. That was kind of something.
So you will come away with a little bit of knowledge,
but
not the amount of knowledge that I think I was expecting to really retain.
Yeah, same.
That applied to me.
Yeah, when I read the class list, you know, I was like, oh yeah, those are going to be pretty stellar. And then I walked away going, if anything, I got to meet a lot of cool people and network. And I think that was, honestly, that's kind of invaluable. I don't really know how you judge that on ROI, but I did walk away with a lot more relationships and just knowing really cool people.
That's the number one thing you're going to come away with.
And I would say if you're going, just know, if you're going to Workbench Con, that is the reason you're going.
Absolutely. Straight up, you're going to meet other people and see the other people behind the phone.
Yeah,
for sure. I've made long lasting friendships from that. 100%. Some guys we've never met before, and some people I've had a conversation with for years. So if you're going for the social aspect, awesome.
Yes.
Kind of sucks that you have to pay $1,000 or more to to like actually hang out with these people. It may be cheaper to just fly to all these people's shops and hang out.
I don't know, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's an experience that you won't get anywhere else. So that, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And the cool kind of thing about it is, especially where you don't know anybody, like one night we just randomly had two guys come with us to eat, kind of a group of guys. Yeah. And one of them turned out to be an Olympian, an Olympic volleyball player. And yep. The other guy was the guy with the Oreo dispenser. I had no idea who he was. And he ended up having 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So it kind of, yeah, like the playing field gets a little leveled.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, yeah.
There is a little bit of high schoolish. That's kind of how I felt. A little bit of a high school-y clique thing, kind of maybe in the beginning. That's how I felt. I knew a lot of these people, and I followed a lot of people. You didn't.
I didn't know anybody.
Yeah, everybody was new, so I don't. I think it's just like you're showing up to everybody fresh.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that for me. It kind of died off as it went on, and of course I get out what I put into it, and I'm kind of like in person. I feel like I'm not.
You're a social butterfly.
I'm not the guy that's going to go up and say hi first. I'm always going to be the guy that reciprocates hi.
And, I'm opposite.
Yeah.
Like, one, nobody knew who I was, and I didn't know anybody else. And so instead of just being like, you know, standing behind this guy going, "Hey, how you doing?" No, you have to break off. And I met some really cool people. Shelby Hahn from Shelby Hahn Turns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super cool dude.
Yeah.
Tyson.
Right.
Tyson Moore. And actually, I got Dave Foster as well, and we got a chance to pray together, and I thought that was really cool.
Amazing.
Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, so you just never know the people you're going
to
meet.
That also tells you something, like, you never know who you're talking to, so don't discount this person because they have 5 followers or something like that. Like,
yeah,
that means nothing. It really means nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I have, 3,000 followers, and that was, like, everybody there had, 50,000 to 100,000 followers or something.
That's
like
just
that.
How it feels.
Crazy.
But yeah.
Anyways, but yeah.
So
whatever. I have a TV show.
So yeah, I'll edit that part out. He really wants that to be known. All right, let's talk about companies that are there.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of companies. So let's name some companies that were there.
Merca.
Merca didn't have a booth.
They did not.
They were there. They were there in the background.
Really.
Fuji Spray was there. They had a booth. Rockler. Woodcraft.
Saw Stop
had a booth.
Firm Grip
had a booth. Total Boat.
Rust-Oleum.
Oh, shoot. Wagner Moisture Meter.
Mm-hmm. B&H Photography.
I'm trying to think. Home Depot. They're the golden sponsor.
Yeah.
So.
Cutsall
had a booth. There were some people doing some carving.
I know, I really want to get into that.
And was there one more? Wall Control.
Yeah.
Should know that. So that was kind of the sponsorships. So a little bit of everything, but not a lot of everything. I feel like for the amount of people there, I think there was 400 or 500 people. Mm-hmm. There should have been a lot more vendors. I wish there was a lot more vendors. They break off into a lot of time.
Well, also, you got to understand, like, the ticket prices for vendors.
Oh, yeah, it's way more expensive. Right, but where are the people using their product and showing it off?
That's true.
I wish there was more vendors. I wish there was more people to talk to. Because there was a lot of time built in for, like, meet the vendors, but you could literally do that in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And when, okay, you're trying to sell yourself to get free stuff or work with them or something like that. I mean, that's the case. Everybody's going to come in here, and you're going to watch this, and you're going to be like, Ben's a jerk for saying it, but, like, you want free stuff.
Yeah.
There's something amazing about that. Yeah, I want free stuff, sure.
I didn't have any leverage for free stuff, so, like, I met vendors, but it wasn't really to get free stuff. It was just kind of...
I think everyone can have a leverage force. You have value somewhere, and you just have to figure out what that is and how to sell that. That's a class in itself that I'm not giving. So, but just know you have value to someone.
To be honest, so I went to Workbench Con, talked with these vendors, and like talked with a bunch of other social media influencers, right? And I've been doing a lot more stories and tagging the companies, and just kind of it's almost not. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but jokingly just being like very like noticeable, like
you have to be shameless.
It's just straight shameless plug.
There's something to be said just when for you just
because it's fun. Yeah. It's not, I'm not making fun of anybody, and I'm not, you know, trying to be a jerk, but right. it's just for fun.
There's something to be said when you become a straight ad, like your feed is straight ads, like here's a glove, and here's another day when I'm using a glove. Okay, yeah. Here's me driving in my car using a glove.
Yeah.
Like you can't, how many gloves do you need? Okay. So there's not that, but everybody wants to work with a company. It's a cool thing. Well, it's a dream. It's a cool if you're thing. Going there, you specifically want to do that because that's kind of what the meetup is for.
Well, and as a production shop, like if you can, for me, it's not can I get free stuff. For me, it's how can we benefit each other? Like how can I use your product and then you share my company using your product? Because that's free marketing
right.
for both of us.
Well, that's the nicer way of me saying, so, how can I get free stuff?
Oh,
that's the
yeah,
jargon.
But I have a,
but everybody's initial thought is, ooh, I want something for free.
Well,
I mean, that's the case.
I'm trying to promote a brand.
Right.
Not you don't really have, like, there's no reason for you to.
Yeah, I don't. So, well, okay, so making our money back. I'm looking at this whole thing as making my money. Like, was my money invested well?
Yeah.
And let's say up to this point, probably not for me, just meeting people and stuff, which doesn't just if I met you, I'm not discounting the value of that relationship when I saw you. That's not, but just investing the time away and then you know, the money that you spent to get there and all that, probably not a monetary investment back. But Cody and I both had special situations. So Merca approached you. They came out of the blue. Tell a little bit about. This may happen. This is, again, another thing of you never know who you're sitting by or talking with.
Yeah, so they went to the Fuji spray thing, and I don't have a Fuji sprayer, but you do.
I do.
And, you know, I have a shop, so he just lets me use it, but I'm not very good at it, so I went to the thing. And while we were in there, Merca was the representatives for them were in the class as well. I sprayed and then they come and approach me. And by the way, like if you go to this thing, wear your shirt. So because we were in the Fuji class, I sprayed, just kind of sitting off watching everybody else spray, just kind of trying to learn something. The representatives from Merca came up to me, and I guess while we were there, they were checking everybody's feed, just kind of seeing.
They're looking you up by your shirt.
Yes, by your
straight
shirt,
up.
Basically. Yeah.
And to this, really to cut in real quick, like, I kind of was like asking people, should I wear my shirt every single day? That's kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
Not the literal same shirt, but my brand on my shirt. And yes, the answer is yes. Like, people knew me because I was wearing my shirt. I knew people because they were wearing their shirt.
Yeah.
It makes it way easier to know who you're talking to and to look up somebody's feed.
Yeah.
You know, like when you meet somebody in real life and you're like, oh, they leave, and then you look up their Facebook feed to see who they really are. That's kind of what's happening. And that's what happened with you with this brand.
Yeah, and that's what happened with me. And so they came and approached me, and we were just talking. They saw that I use a lot of Festo products. They asked if I'd ever heard of them at a... I had, but hadn't, I guess.
I've never seen them in real life. We live in Arkansas where there is nothing around.
There's no woodcraft. There's no specialty stores.
Nothing.
And right. So, because I have to order all of our stuff. And they asked if I'd ever heard of them. I was like, sorry, no. I felt bad. I really did. And so they were like, well, that's fine. So they were telling me who they were. And so I guess Merca actually makes the abrasives for Festool, but they're coming out with their own line of things. Well, they already have their own line of stuff. And so I've been, gave me some sandpaper to try out, and I've been talking with them about, they're also coming out with a line of tools. And we've kind of just been in conversation about, you know, for organic, since there is nothing here, possibly being a dealer and distributor for Merca, which benefits me and benefits them. And so it was just one of those very cool moments of, you know, I'm there with probably the least amount of followers, and I was approached because I am a production shop, and there's a way that I can be of value to a brand.
Right, you have value.
So, yeah.
Even where you live may be value. Since we have nothing else around here, you can increase the value of your business here because you can sell somebody's products out of your shop.
Yes.
So you're gonna get a sander and a vacuum, right? Or theoretically?
Well, I don't know. We were there. They had mentioned it. We haven't talked about that yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm still talking about, like, how do I become a dealer?
Right.
How do I sell the sander?
Right. Yeah. So that will pay off in its own.
Yes.
If it can. They kind of talked about giving him a sander in a back. So we'll see. If that happens, that has paid for its ticket in itself.
Well, yeah. If that happens, that's paid for its ticket. And the fact that I can do a well-done YouTube review and then send it to them, and hopefully they use it on their channels.
It's just return on return on return.
And then my brand is then extended even further. Right. So it's a return on return. Yeah, there are ways to make it back.
Yes.
You just kind of have to, you know.
You have to think about how to do that. For me, if you've been following along on my YouTube channel or my Instagram, I moved my shop back. I took that out and I put a dust collector outside, a Harbor Freight one outside of my shop. And it does not suck. It literally is so underpowered, I barely suck up any dust.
So it does suck, it just doesn't suck.
It sucks, but doesn't suck, yes. So I really have been thinking about getting a bigger one or a different branded one. It's just something that puts out more CFM, and Rockler happened to be there, and I just went over and chatted with the lady, and I hadn't put out the video yet. I finished it, I just haven't edited it, and I went over and talked to the lady. I said, this is what I did. My thing is terrible. She didn't know who I was at all. I've never talked to them before. I was wearing a shirt. And she said, oh, that sounds interesting. Here's my card. Email me when we go, when, you know, after the thing. I emailed her, put my links down in the bottom of the email saying, hey, remember me. You said to email, talk. And she said, sounds great. We'll send you whichever one you need. Send me an item number and we'll send it out. So theoretically, when I get that, which if it really goes through, but from what I can tell from the email, it will, I will have made my money back in a dust collector.
Yeah, so, and then you do a video.
And I do a video on that. And people watch it. I make some income from that. And then I don't know if you can be an affiliate with Rockler, but if you can't, I think they might have just actually removed that. But if you can, I'll make sure to sign up for that and kind of direct people to that. So there is a money making from it, but you just have to be creative. And I wish that this would have been a class a little bit more, or maybe the one I didn't take, the micro influencers may have spoken about that. That was one. There's kind of the classes are sporadic and you have to choose. And if you don't choose the right one, it's kind of a hard, you're too late for sometimes. Others. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, I picked this one.
No, yeah.
It's like,
and then you kind of feel bad for leaving the class.
Yeah.
And then going to another one. But do it. It's your time.
Yeah.
When you're there, do whatever you need to do.
You don't have to pre-register for the classes. That was the great thing about it. Like you said, I walked out of two of them.
Right.
And it wasn't because I thought they were a bad class. I just knew they didn't pertain to me.
They didn't pertain to you.
And that there was other classes going on in that time that might pertain to me.
And so I walked out of Donnie's class because it did not pertain to me whatsoever. Yeah. It never will. I don't want to sell a $70,000 table. I'll leave that up to you.
Of it.
So I left. Ironically, when the classes are going on, the people at the booths of all of the companies are standing around doing nothing. So it is the prime time to go and talk to them. While it's actually time to meet them, when they bake it in, everyone's around them.
Yeah.
But when the classes are going on, skip the classes, go talk to the people because you have them one-on-one.
Yeah, I did.
For like an hour and a half. Yeah. So that's just a heads up if it works next year if you go. There you go. All right, let's talk about the swag. You go and you get swag, and the swag changes every year. So what swag did you get? Like they give you a bag when you walk in.
Yeah, so we got the only thing I really remember from it is the glue brush and the pony clamps.
Yeah, there was a clamp and
a glue
brush.
Because those are the things I've already used since
right.
I've been back. There's something in there for the paint.
What would you say the value of the things in there? Or maybe $50, max $100. So if you're thinking you're gonna make your money back on swag, no, that's not gonna happen. Although Pony did have a class about their clamps, and then at the end they said take everything because we can't ship it back.
Can't ship it back. Yeah.
So chat up with the vendors there and say, like, we drove in, although we kind of didn't really do this. But if there are things that they can't fly back, like epoxy, you can't put it on a plane.
But I sell epoxy, so.
Right, I don't. But I'm just saying, if you're there and you Wise drove, bond. Go up to everybody and say, I drove. When you got when the thing is over, I will take whatever you can't take back. Yeah. So you may make it back swag-wise there.
So one of the things when we were talking about ROI or return on investment, you got to think about, well, there's a lot of swag, I guess, from the vendors, but also like, what are you going to take and give out to people so they remember you? And there was a lot of sticker exchanges, which—
Make sure you have stickers. Gotta have stickers.
I only had what was in my truck.
Like four?
So got, there was eight. There was eight of them.
I had a pocket full of stickers the whole time. Well, most days. And yeah. Try to give out
and,
what I could.
Anyways, business cards, that was another thing. So you can give out business cards. And also like, I gave out postcards. Like these postcards of that were made from our marketing team at Deluxe. And we were giving them out to vendors and they were kind of a huge hit too. And then I had a few hats that I had brought with me and I gave one to Donnie from Donnie's Designs by Donnie and he has wore it every day in his shop in his videos since we've gotten back from WorkbenchCon and I'm loving it.
Boosting followers. So if you're looking for just followers, friend people, give them your swag and they're going to wear it later on. Like yeah, I and got like this Two Moose shirt and crazy. Now I'm wearing it today. Yeah. So follow Two Moose if you're not. Yeah.
And
so,
that was the crazy thing because that wasn't the purpose.
That wasn't planned.
Yeah, it just like
organically happened.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we kind of befriended and talked and then I was like, oh, I'm going to give this guy a hat. So I gave him a hat and then he's been wearing it every day and it's just been like a lot of people just rolling in.
Yeah.
They have no idea who I am.
So after every day, it kind of stops at about 5 or 6. Had to find your own dinner. So it's kind of like, hey, you want to go to dinner? Hey, you want to go to dinner? You find that group and you go. Although the last day,
we found
people to go with, and the people that went with us found people to go with, and they found people to go with. So you end up going to a restaurant with 50 people, which doesn't work. What's the point? You're not going to sit around a 50-person table, or you'd be waiting forever for a table.
But it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Yeah. It's great. That's intimate meeting time is when you're eating with people, for sure.
Yeah, and just inviting people to go with you.
Yeah.
It's just a big, you know.
Invite anyone and everyone, because we would have not met the people we did if it wasn't just like, hey, can I go with you? Or invite yourself. That's okay.
Yeah, because we drove, and so it was like, hey, ride with us or whatever.
Right,
so.
Yeah. We did go a day early. So it starts on a Thursday evening. We left Wednesday morning and got there Wednesday afternoon because there was a meetup at Ox in the Shop, Drew's house, and then a wall control meetup.
Yeah.
We found out in Atlanta 30 minutes is like a 2-hour drive during traffic, so we didn't end up going to the wall control one because we were way too late.
Way late.
So I think that was a day too much for me.
I think if someone's got it, so it's just horrible timing for us because it's like we leave really, really early on a Thursday and get there, it starts and we're tired,
right?
You know, or we, you know, get there a day early. But we did go to the aquarium,
so that was pretty cool. Atlanta had an aquarium,
although, it was just me and you. And that, when I go to the aquarium and stuff like that, it like really made me miss my kids, and I was like, well, crap, I don't even want to be here now,
we both have kids, so there was I really wish my kids could be here during this.
And the whole time I was there, like in the back of my head, it's Baby Shark.
No, you were singing it, so
oh, I was probably singing it.
So we were right by the Atlanta Braves Stadium. We walked over there and we ate in that kind of area too, so yeah, so that's cool.
There is cool stuff to do around there. And I think they're wanting to do it in Atlanta every year because Home Depot's headquarters
Home
is right
Depot
there.
Home Depot headquarters that, so they're going to do it in Atlanta every year. I'd be way surprised if it was not. Yeah. They also do another conference called Haven. I think they literally have written descriptions of these, and the Haven conference is for women, and the WorkbenchCon is the manly version of the Haven. I saw something that was actually written down that
way. So they did is it just for women? I thought it was just for like bloggers.
It's not just for women. It's a blogger conference, but 99% of the people that go are women.
Well, so women know how to write.
I guess so.
I'm illiterate.
Yes. I have to have my wife correct all my spelling and grammar. So.
Ditto.
So, but this conference is not for women. Not for men. There are definitely a lot of women. So
yes.
Men, women, whatever. There are some kids. Some parents brought their children.
Yeah.
So you can bring your kids. I wouldn't want to do that. That would be crazy. It was crazy.
My kids would not help me.
Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, meeting some pretty famous people in my mind was pretty cool. Getting to just talk to them like they are humans, approach them like they are humans. Yeah. I think some people did that to me. To say, you don't know me, but, you know, I've helped them out with CNC or something. So we're all just some dude in a shop going and meeting other people. So don't think anybody's untouchable. Approach them. Jimmy Duresta literally said, we're here. Come find us. Come talk to us. Yeah. And that's really how they are.
Yeah.
When you met them. So
cool.
So I guess in the end, was it worth it for you to go? Would you be going again?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go again. I think it was worth it for me to go.
Worth it at least once.
At least once.
At least
you
once.
You know, I met all these people. If I, you know, start to miss their face, I might go again.
Right.
I don't know. You know, but it's just one of those things, like, I don't know.
Was the return on investment there for you?
I'm a relationships person, so I think the relationships gained were definitely worth it. But again, it goes to like pretty much the same people go every year. I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it is roughly getting a little bigger, but yeah, I mean, and so, if you're coming in the third year, these people have already had 2 years of a relationship.
Yeah.
So that's where the high schoolness kind of felt to me. Like, well, you guys already know each other. I'm the outside guy.
Yeah.
Even though we talk on Instagram or whatever a lot. So yeah, I do see that for sure.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't know. So I think the relationships made and friendships made are kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But
yeah, for me, I'm probably not going to go again. That'll probably be my last time.
Yeah.
I am not the kind of guy that really likes to travel. I don't really travel. I'm a homebody, I guess.
Yeah.
I love meeting all the people and that was worth it for sure. I look back on it and I'm really glad I did it, but I won't be going a second time unless something drastically changes. The friendships and the conversations had with the people on the other end of the phone are definitely worthwhile.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, overall, I enjoyed the experience.
All right, well, I'm Ben from Myers Woodshop.
Cody from Organic.
And we hope that helped you decide if conferences like this, especially WorkbenchCon, is something for you. If we saw you there, really good to say hi. Really glad. Make sure to keep up with us. You can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Myers Woodshop. And you can find Cody
at Organic Woodwork. And you can also find both of us, if you want to hear our voices, on our podcast.
And we're back.
5 seconds
later. In reality, that was 5 seconds later. Yeah. But if you listen to
Hollywood
this episode,
magic.
That was about 30 minutes later about me and Cody talking about it.
Rambling about Workbench. Coming.
Yeah. So
it's good stuff.
It was pretty good for us. I think overall, I have more of a, now that it's been 3 weeks or four weeks later, I have more of a positive thought looking back on it than a negative one.
Okay.
I think initially it was kind of negative, but that was coming right out of it.
Yeah.
Negative to average. But I have a lot more positive coming out of it so far.
My only thing was the classes themselves. I think the classes, the descriptions were a little, either A, the description was vague or misleading. So,
oh dear.
Yeah. So they're just, I don't know. And that's one of the reasons why I chose to go and pay to go. But there were a few classes I enjoyed.
This thing really wasn't about the classes. That's,
no.
I guess, coming up. It's really about...
Was it about talking to people?
Talking to people.
That's another reason I did not go.
Extroverting, talking to people.
See, and you were worried that you would be out of your element.
I feel like I was, kind of.
That's baloney. Yeah. What about you?
I'm not Myers Woodshop.
Indeed, you know? Who is?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, social media royalty or whatever, like everybody else that was there. Yeah,
monetize the living daylights out of every move you make.
Yeah. So, but overall, I don't know, I made a lot of good connections.
Good.
With some really great people.
Designs by Donnie has been wearing your hat for like a month straight.
Man, he is such
straight.
A cool dude.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, I gave him a hat and he's just been repping it hard.
Yeah, he really is. He has like over 100,000 followers on Instagram, so that's good advertising for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and it's, what's funny is I had talked to Merca, the sandpaper distribution company or whatever, but they also make sanders now and a dust collection system, and they sent one to me recently, and we're going to do a video on it. Yeah.
Good.
But the plan is to eventually one day become a dealer.
for them locally. Sweet. That'd be really cool to do.
Oh, yeah.
But they actually sponsor Donnie.
So I saw just a right weird... after that, well, you no, got they, that. They... Like, I saw four or five people now are sponsored by them. And they didn't do anything like that before. I never saw any of it.
Well, yeah, it's very new.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really weird that they even approached me at WorkbenchCon because, like, everybody there was thousands and thousands of followers and, like, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands.
But have they been on a TV show?
Well, I don't know. But I think it was because I did use a competitor that I will not name.
Oh, okay.
And they were like... use them, you're gonna love us. And I was like, all right, okay. Send me your stuff, let's see it out.
Yeah,
so cool. They did, and it's really cool stuff.
So in the video we talked about, like, it may be happening that you get that, mm-hmm. but now you have officially gotten that.
Yes.
And using it, so it has Sweet. Absolutely paid off going there, because you've received more yes. in material back than you paid to
oh
go,
yeah, absolutely. So, like, the system they sent me was like, it's easy 1600.
Oh yeah,
and then
ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
and
more
then
than
I
the stuff you got then
and, way more.
And what, yes. and what's crazy is, I won the Fuji paint sprayer.
Yes,
you I got went a to paint the, sprayer I from got, Fuji.
So yeah. I went to the class. The only reason I went to the class, which is also where Mirka was at and approached me.
That class was the best thing that ever happened there.
Yeah, I know. And so
talking about not liking the classes, but yeah, the connections yeah. of the class.
Well, that one actually paid off because I have for one sure. now, and now I know how to use it.
Yeah,
but the reason I went is because Ben already had one. And
I was going to say, is it his? Is it the same one?
His.
Is it that no. Cadillac or not quite the...
I have the
it's the lower end tip one. Top. Okay. It's a lower end one.
Well, it's still
one.
Fuji spray.
It's still a good brand. Fuji spray still is still a really good cool. machine. Yeah. It's just good. A lower end machine. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I told him, because the guy who runs the thing,
Jim
is a fantastic guy. I love him. And
he's cool for a Canadian.
Hung out. And yeah.
No, I watched him.
Yeah.
When you first got that thing, mm-hmm. explaining
yeah.
it, explaining the system on some yeah. video they put out.
Yeah.
I remember him.
He video conferenced me and yeah. talked to me
and
about
it. And a funny story behind that was, I actually didn't know I won. And I was, they in the little, your gift bag that they gave you at WorkbenchCon, they put
swag
in a
bag.
Fuji, the swag bag, they put in a Fuji paint stir stick.
Okay.
So, like, I was stirring mine to bone brush on some clear coat, and I was like, here's me using my Fuji stir stick. Mm. And, like, as a joke.
What, when you were back home, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then Jim was like, oh, that's funny. So, I guess you already know. I was like, no, what? Like, I had no idea. He's like, oh, we just got this email today. And he, like, showed me, he sent a screenshot of the email. I was like, holy cow. Nope, didn't know. It's just a freak accident. So.
And I messaged them okay. the day before, because they said they were sending out, like, a pack to people who went to the class, something free. I haven't gotten that yet, so I don't know if it's coming, but I was like, hey, if you want to save your money, you can just send it to send Cody's in mine, too.
Yeah.
And then that was, like, the next day he messaged you and said you won. So, overall earnings, I guess.
So, what is that
product,
system, like, $500?
Probably. $700.
Dang. So, I spent...
Plus your Mirka stuff.
So what did we spend? Like, I don't remember what I spent.
Maybe a grand.
Probably a grand to go. And I got at least 1,100 more.
Oh, at
that.
Least. Yeah.
Okay.
No, like, so, yeah. I mean, 2,100 back, probably.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's
cool
a good return
and
on investment.
Supplies.
Yeah.
So, very and nice. For me, I was talking about getting the Rockler Dust Collector, and it actually came in,
yeah.
and I got it. So that thing's like $1,100. So yeah. a video is... coming out. I have it half edited at this point, so if you're listening to this, I probably will have it out. I mounted my dust collection.
I was going
to
say, that's the gigantic
the
piece
big
of
thing
equipment
that, y'all
that I
helped hold in the middle
into,
of the night. Yes.
It was raining.
Yes.
It was like
it was raining.
80 pounds.
It was super heavy.
And
the closet was already
just,
made, so it was very
you
heavy.
You told me to hold a camera, and I watched you and Pete nearly kill yourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So I had to take the Harbor Freight one out and replace it with the bigger, heavier one, where the
great.
Cabinet was already a little too small. Had to cut an access hole on the side because it wise out.
Did you do it?
Spread.
Did you fix it up?
I cut an access hole, okay. and then I just... one by framed it and put it back on.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So simple. But yeah, so I made my money back at least just in product for that dust collection.
Very nice.
I gave Pete the Harbor Freight one because he's going to hook it up to something.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So.
And I don't know, like I interact a whole lot more on Instagram than I did before.
Yeah, you
do.
And
do.
Yeah. And
I
stories now.
Have not.
Stories.
Yeah,
whoa. What's a story?
Is that a video?
You have to have the internet to be able to do story stuff.
Never mind.
Yeah, because like before, I mean, I didn't do that stuff, but like just been very doing a lot more stories.
I really enjoy watching your stories.
Like with consistency?
Yeah. Yeah. Every day, I'd say.
You were like, yeah, I never think of this stuff. I'm lost in the process.
Yeah, that's
so did that change for you now?
Yeah. Just a little bit. Kind of figure out at more avenues of kind of bringing in.
But stories really tell, like a post a day or a few days kind of show, like, I'm a business, here's my business stuff. Stories really connect with your audience at a personal level.
Like the ground level behind the scenes type feel.
Why do we like watching people's mundane day?
I don't know.
Like, some days I want my day to fast forward, but I really want to watch your day.
Vicarious interaction.
I don't know. But yeah, that's the thing. I don't know why, but people enjoy it. I got a lot of positive feedback.
I love watching your stories.
I mean, half the time it's not woodworking related. It's just goofy stuff. We talked about
mixing resin and dropping it in.
Playing the piano.
I gave my 2 cents on The Bachelor.
Yeah. My wife chimed in back at me.
Yeah. First time watching it, and I was disgusted. So I had to make sure everybody knew how disgusted I was at this. I don't know.
I watch that with my wife every single season.
I'm sorry.
We watch together every time.
Yeah, this one.
That's how it is.
Pete the pilot.
I heard a little bit about
Scumbag.
It. Yeah, that was the general idea that was conveyed to me.
So, what is your overall thoughts of WorkbenchCon and going and not going?
Well, I'm not going to go if you guys are never going again. That's for sure.
You wouldn't go without us.
No.
Why?
Heck no. Because it's like a zillion people. I don't know.
That's true.
It's the people.
Right.
The people.
That's basically what it's going to. Atlanta.
Yeah.
Did you guys take a plane or did you fly?
We drove.
Okay.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, we did take a plane.
I mean, if there's any way I would ever consider that, I'd be on a motorcycle just for fun to get there and back. And when I got there, I'd basically just skulk around and lurk and look at stuff and leave without talking to anybody.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who had smaller followings that you just like gravitate towards and hang out with.
Okay.
It just happened. People I didn't have a clue.
All right.
That just happened.
Well, if one of y'all is going back 1 year, maybe not next year, I'll consider it. But
possibly.
I'm not going.
Possibly.
I'm a wuss. I'm not going by myself. I'm introverted.
So it's not the money necessarily. It's the introvertness of a group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
The drive. The funny story, I don't know if I told you. When I bought my truck, it was a surprise to my wife, essentially. I said, I want a truck.
Okay,
and then one day I came home with a truck.
By surprise to your wife, you don't mean it was, hey, honey, I got us a truck. Isn't
no,
it a
it was
big
like,
surprise?
She's I drove like, home with
she's going
in a
to
different
murder
vehicle.
You kind of surprise.
A little bit.
Okay.
But listen to this story, because it was good.
So that's what it was. Now, my truck is an 07. It was old. It was not very expensive.
It's under $100,000, though.
Under $100,000 when I bought it, yeah.
Good engine.
Which is a great deal, but I was just happy. Mm-hmm. So my wife really wants a Sequoia. And really wants a new Sequoia. Those
is
are
that
like $100,000.
Those are usually more expensive
Very
than a
expensive.
Tundra.
Yeah. So we got halfway. We're like halfway to Atlanta. I'm driving. I did not check in. We're in the city. It's raining. I'm really focused on the road. And I'm not driving my own. I'm driving his really expensive Tundra. So
oh, is
I'm,
that right?
Yeah, he's driving.
You let him drive your truck?
Extra cautious.
Yeah. Well,
you guys bonded.
We split it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Split the drive.
I'm just being extra cautious because it's not my vehicle, whatever.
Right. Right.
My phone goes off and Cody picks it up, right?
Yeah,
you picked
like,
it up.
Like,
I was like, hey,
was
check
like,
that out. Who's with the text? And you're like, it's your wife. There's a picture of her in front of a Sequoia. And I'm like, what?
Oh,
I'm not believing it. She texts 2 pictures of her at a dealership of the Sequoia. And then she texts a 3rd picture of her
and a
with
sales
a Sequoia
guy.
Behind and the sales guy in the picture. And she's like, well, you left. And I bought a car just the same way
the
you
best,
bought a
did
car.
Did she
the
best, really pull
here's,
that on
here's
you?
Here's the best way that Molly did it. In the second photo, she goes, hey, meet Ed.
Jojo.
Meet Jojo. He just helped me purchase this really nice truck. Yep. I was like, she knows the guy by the first name, and he's wearing a name tag. Like,
Super believable. Yeah.
Because like, you wouldn't just walk in and like take a photo with some salesman.
And if you know my wife, she's a lot like you. She does not want to be around people.
That is not outgoing. I didn't know that.
Not her.
I didn't think she would have done a practical joke of that magnitude.
For 30 minutes after the text come in, I didn't call her right away because I'm still driving. I'm like, there's no, I cannot.
But he's panicking.
There's no way.
Good for Molly. Because
we just paid off all our car. Like, we have no debt other than a mortgage and college loans. We paid off everything.
So why not a platinum?
Why not get a $100,000 vehicle? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Boom.
Nicely
heart.
Done.
She got me. So kudos.
Got you in
Molly.
The heart.
Well done, Molly.
You got me. Yeah. So.
And Molly's got a new blog about books.
She does.
What's the name of it?
Leggings and literature.
Yeah. Leggings and literature.
That insinuates you're laying at home doing nothing, watching a book or relaxing.
And you're probably a woman because I'm not wearing
I'm watching
leggings.
You're watching the book. You're probably a woman reading. Yeah. So she reads probably a book every 3 days.
Yeah.
And
she's an avid reader.
I guess this is, again, something I was surprised she doesn't do. She's like, I think I'm just going to start a blog. And I'm like, fine. Like, some of me rubbed off on you. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's do it. So, yeah. So if you're listening and you like reading, or your wife or somebody else likes reading, check out leggingsandliterature.com or follow her at leggingsandliterature, and you can read all about the books she reads. And
it's like an online book club.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
pretty cool.
Several of them my wife has read.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
At least one of them I read.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Not my flavor.
Not quite your boogie.
I've read her writings on them, and I'm just like, I'm probably not going to read it.
I feel like it's more woman's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a
woman's. Well, I read
reading,
a lot.
A lot of it is definitely geared toward
the female.
Female readers. But a couple of them, like I said, there was one called The Turn of the Key, and now I can't even think of the author, which was as creepy as heck.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
She likes some drama, Dateline stuff. If I ever die. Like, watch Dateline and you'll find out my wife killed me somehow.
Yeah.
What's Dateline?
Oh, God.
Like, murder mystery. Yeah. Like, real life murder mysteries.
I knew it was
like
real life.
Criminal.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff. Right. It's like every Friday. That's another one we kind of watch together.
Oh, okay.
She watches
cool.
that a lot. But,
that's
cool. Yeah. So.
All right. So,
that pretty much wraps up the Workbench Con.
So, thanks, guys, for listening to us ramble about the WBC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to go to Workbench Con, you can check them out at workbenchcon.com, probably
or
like that.
Their Instagram thing.
So they do it every year so far. Hopefully next year it'll be, I think next year it'll be in Atlanta again, 2021.
Apparently it's gonna be,
I think it is,
every year
because Home Depot runs it.
Yeah,
so, and that's where their headquarters is. So
yeah.
All right, anything else to chime in?
No,
I'm done.
Okay, you're done. All right, well, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Yep. And again, if you want to check out the YouTube of that, it's on my YouTube channel.
Myers Woodshop.
I don't know. I'm blanking on that. So, all right, we'll catch y'all next time.
Bye. Ciao.
See ya.